This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri. Now, Jesus is coming. Satan doesn't want him to come. Satan's the enemy of God, he's the enemy of Jesus, and he's the enemy of you. And he doesn't want you fulfilling the work of God, but praise the Lord, hallelujah, we're going to do it because we have authority over him. I'm reading to you right now from my book, The Blood and the Glory, which God gave to me in 1995. It was published the first time. And this book is for the last days. It's how we can win over the enemy, always causing us to conquer with the blood of Jesus Christ. When I was writing this book, I read a book by Don Gossett, and I had known Don Gossett about that time, and he was telling me more about it. But in his book, one of his books on praise, he tells a story, and I tell the story in my book, The Blood and the Glory, how that there was a minister who was ministering in Canada some years ago, and he was he'd had a wonderful meeting. He and his wife were up there, and they had really made inroads into the enemy's camp. People born again, filled with the Spirit, healed, wonderful things. And the devil just said to him, "I'm going to kill your children." The children were back in Tennessee on his farm. He said, "You're not going to kill my children." He said, "Yes, I am. Before you left, you saw foxes around your farm, around your territory. I have put rabies on those foxes, and they're going to bite your children, or your children are going to die." So Brother Stevens and his wife and the pastors where he was holding the meeting, they all got together and they drew a bloodline. They drew a bloodline around his farm, his property. 2 or 3 weeks later, he gets a letter from his brother and his family who are watching over the children. And the brother says, "Funny thing happened. I was out walking the perimeter of your property and I found 7 dead foxes. They just seemed to fall dead right at your property line." He said, "I sent their heads off, and they were all rabied. They couldn't cross the bloodline." Now that bloodline is available to us. We can set a blood watch. In my book, The Blood and the Glory, I give the Old Testament meaning of the word plead. It's not something you use like a rabbit's foot. It says in Ephesians chapter 11, in that chapter that, excuse me, Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter, that by faith Moses sprinkled the blood, that the destroyer who had destroyed the Egyptians could not touch them. By faith, you draw a bloodline, and the destroyer cannot touch you and cannot touch your children. But you have to pay the price. What is the price? Remember I told you that I was seeking, why are these things happening to the good people, the people who serve God? And I'm going to read to you from my book, The Blood and the Glory, page 20. The price of constant victory. Now, I had read in Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, that the old timers knew something about the blood. He told the story of Mrs. C. Newsom. I then got Mrs. C. Newsom's books, The Blood and the Glory, The Life of Faith. And I found her use of the blood of Jesus. Now, in her book, in chapter 7, entitled Hold Fast That Which Thou Hast. Of course, that line, the title of that chapter, was taken from the book of Revelation, in which Jesus said, "Hold fast that you have," to one of the churches. Why do you have to hold fast? Because somebody's trying to get it away from you, and that somebody is the enemy. So, Mrs. C. Newsom writes, "We are all in the land of the enemy and are subject to his attacks in spirit, soul, and body. But God says, give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. That means that he cannot take a place in us when he attacks us if we do not let him. We open the way for him to come in if we sin. The smallest sin we commit in word, deed, or thought gives place for the devil to do us harm." Now this is me. I'm writing. The first door she mentions is obvious. Sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin and makes us new creations when we are born again. And thank God, if we sin after we're born again, we can take advantage of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the blood in either case which cleanses us and closes the door of opportunity to the devil. The door. But when I read what she had to say about another door, I knew I had what I was looking for. An opening Satan uses to afflict the innocents, and how to keep the door closed. How does he attack the children of God? The students who are studying God's Word, the Bible school students, the university students, the high school students, the Christian kids. How does he do it? So I found it when I read these words of Mrs. C. Newsom. God's remedy always accomplishes just what God says it will accomplish, overcome the enemy. But watchfulness is the price of constant victory. Quote, be vigilant, parentheses, watch all the time, in parentheses, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Then it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Mrs. Newsom, our enemy is so set on our destruction that he never sleeps or neglects to follow after us to destroy us. How sad that we, who have so much at stake, should be less diligent than he. A failure to watch also gives the devil a place in us or permits him to return. Jesus said, I say unto all, watch. We are not safe from his attacks one moment without the blood of Jesus. As soon as we waken in the morning, we should cry for the blood to be upon us, within us, around us, and between us and the power, between us and all evil and the author of evil. The last thing before we sleep, we should in the same way cry for the protection of the blood. Oh, that we could rouse ourselves to a greater intensity in the things of God. We are so half-hearted, and yet we must overcome an enemy that is constantly alert and ready to take advantage of all carelessness or neglect. If we neglect to watch, can God call us good soldiers? Oh, how much we suffer because we fail to watch all the time. I say unto all, watch. Not one person is excused from watching. We shall never in this life get to a place where the enemy cannot attack us. But God is not willing that we should be overcome even once. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not one failure as we obey and trust. I saw it. 1 Peter 5:8 is so clear. Be vigilant. Watch. That's how he slips in on us, a lack of watchfulness. The old timers would set up a watch, a word watch, a blood watch. They drew a bloodline Satan could not cross. Can you do it? Of course you can. In my book, I go into the Word of God and how Rahab the harlot drew a bloodline. How bloodlines were drawn in the Word of God, and how we can draw them. How we can use the blood. How we can sprinkle the blood. As Mrs. Newsom said, there are watches. And the Lord said to me when I was writing this book, he said, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you day and night. And the Lord told me, you set up a watch against him morning and night. Now, I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I have 4 children, 2 sons, 2 daughters. I have 10 grandchildren, 5 granddaughters, 5 grandsons, and I have 1 great-granddaughter. I get up in the mornings, almost every single morning I get up. I was taught by Kenneth E. Hagin to pray that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory. And in that prayer, it tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and gave him to be head over all of it to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And when he raised Jesus, he raised you, chapter 2 says. When he quickened Jesus, he quickened you because of his great love for you and his mercy. And when he raised Jesus, he raised you. And when he seated Jesus, he seated you in him at his own right hand. So I, Billy Brim, am seated at the right hand of the Father. That's my place of authority. Whenever you read about the demons that you're wrestling against in Ephesians 6, don't forget your place above them in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so in the mornings, here's how I do it. I have a chair that sits in front of a window. And out that window, that's where I feed my birds. And I see the birds, the pretty birds, and I look across and I can see some horses. It's a beautiful scene, but I don't see myself as just right there. I see myself seated at the right hand of the Father. And I turn to him because that's my place. And I turn to him to the left and I start to tell the Father how much I appreciate it, how glad that all those, that what Jesus did and that those principalities and powers are under my feet. How glad I am for his great plan of redemption that he planned and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to consummate with his own precious blood. I thank him for the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead and that raised me and seated me up there. And then I say something like this to him. I say, Father, to bring you glory, I'm going to do what you said in Romans 5:17. Rule and reign in this life. I'm going to reign right now over the enemy. And then I take this book. Sometimes I say it, I read this page 27 in this book, Authority of the Believer, by Macmillan. Page 27, he says, do we believe that God hath raised us together with Christ and has raised us up, quickened us together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus? If we do, our reaction to it will be a fervent, Lord, I accept your gracious word. I believe that you have thus wrought for me. In humble faith, I do now take my seat in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus at your right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which you have entrusted to me. Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me thy purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. Amen. If we are walking in the Spirit, he writes, our normal life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. Let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ, as suggested in the previous paragraph, and thank God for all that it implies. Let us often remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air, and they are in subjection to us. As our faith learns to use the name and the authority of Jesus, we find spiritual forces yielding to us. I set up in that place and I tell Satan, here's where you're not going today. I name my family. I plead the blood. I sprinkle the blood over Tom, Shelley, Kylie, Cody, Aubrey, Eiley, Terry, Lynn, Quetzal. You get the idea. I name it over all of them. And all the good works that God's called me to, I rule and I reign over him as the Lord said. Shalom.